It's actually xx$420.69_420.69_MLG_swagness_$XX.
We are back with our first Walker Fantasy Football podcast of the 2023 season in somewhat impromptu fashion. So this might be kind of sloppy, but hopefully it'll be enjoyable for all three people that listen and at least the four of us for talking loudly like we enjoy doing. So it is Flynn Walker here, joined by the usual cast of Walker Clan. We have Sky, Duggan, and Aaron. And we're just going to be walking through each of the leagues here, giving a quick recap of early season events and how we see the leagues going forward.
So we're going to be walking through the leagues. Is that it?
No, bad.
Wow.
So we'll start off with the DFFL. Scott, do you want to give us an overview of how things are looking?
So I think if we're looking at the DFFL this season, I think the first thing when you're just looking at the standings, looking at the power matrix, is that we really see no dominant team so far, guys. There's only one team that has one loss or less, the Defenders at 4-1, and then we have seven teams at 3-2, including the entire Dream Division at 3-2 at the moment. So no one really standing out here. Also, no teams without a win. So everyone's between 1-4 and 4-1. Dream Division appears to be the best division, again, as always. You know, that's how we do. And, it's just not... No team is really dominant here or seems to have put themselves in a position to be the best.
Yeah, so I guess what I'm noticing here, kind of coming in as an outsider, is that everyone in Mirage's points for are just absolutely terrible. So the Offenders have 183 points for... everyone else in that division is under 150, and they're the only people in the league that are under 150.
Yeah,
so
if you look at the Mirage, right? So the Offenders are 4-1, they're leading it, but they're like five in the matrix. The other three teams are the bottom three in the matrix. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, their points four are not great. I want to disagree a little bit with what Sky said, because I think if you look at the Thunder right now, yes, they're only 3-2, and the Offenders are 4-1, but the Thunder, they're top in the matrix, and they just got Jonathan Taylor and Cooper Kupp back, right? So I think, you know, yes, they haven't been dominant. You haven't been looking every week and going, yes, they're the team, but I think the Thunder is looking really strong.
Jonathan Taylor coming back is a plus?
Well, over whatever else he didn't have, yeah.
Well, Aaron, you could say something similar for the Offenders, though, right? Because they're just getting Austin Ekeler back.
That's true.
The Offenders just have my FFPL team.
But the Offenders don't have much else. I mean, you look at the Offenders and they don't have anything else where you go, oh, yeah, that's really a strong team. I mean, I think they're certainly better than the rest of their division. But... I look at the Thunder, I go, yeah, I understand that they're at the top of the matrix.
The Offenders have they've got high upside, right? But they're going to have really down games. That's, you know, Fields is boom or bust. Andrews can be boom or bust. Olave and Adams are also both boom and bust at different times. Like, I would expect the Offenders, any given week, they have a chance of being the top scorer, but they definitely going to have down weeks. And I would expect more like a 9-5 record than, say, a 12-2 record for them.
Yeah, but that's the kind of team that often ends winning because, you know, all it takes, they're clearly going to be in the playoffs given their division. And then All it takes is two boom weeks in the playoffs and boom, they're there.
Oh, for sure. I think they have as good a chance as anyone. I just don't necessarily think that they clearly stand out.
So what's going on here in the Dream Division, you know, Sky and Aaron, we get four teams at 3-2. And I don't know too much about the D, but I just looked at the kind of predictions going into the season. It's pretty split on who the top team was. How do you guys see that division going forward?
I think it's a total crapshoot. I think if you look at them, I mean, in the matrix, I think those teams are like 3, 4, 6, and 7 right now. Yeah. And they're all 3-2. The tiebreaker, they're also, we're all 1-1 in division record. We've all split the two games we played so far. So the thing that is determining the order there and the you know, break among us is points in division, which is like a 10-point spread across those four teams. So right now we're pretty much dead even. So anything could happen there. I think the heads just lost Jefferson, right? So that's definitely going to mean they're going to struggle. But I think, you know, you could look at any of those teams and go, oh, yeah, they can come on top. But I think it's more likely going to be something like last year where the top team does not come out of our division, but we have 3 or 4 playoff teams.
I mean, you look at it, all of the teams in that division have like a couple players where, it's, oh, if he steps up, then they could end up being really good down the stretch. Or if they come back to earth, they could hurt. You know, if Zach Moss ends up being the number one, despite JT coming back, if he continues to perform like he did this last weekend, or even be a solid back, like Reavers are in great shape. But if we start seeing, but if we start seeing Taylor take some of that work, then kind of, your second running back slot is not super strong at the moment.
Right, right.
And the Reavers are also subject to the inevitable Tua injury.
Yeah,
that's true.
That too.
That's true. Absolutely. So
the questionable next to Daniel Jones, is that like just his quality of play or injury status right there?
Both. I think he does have a permanent questionable next to him. I do, however, want to talk about the elephant in the room, and this is the biggest surprise to me at this point in the season, but Duggan, what the hell is going on with the hitters?
I guess they suck. Well, okay, I'll
tell us about your division. You
know, yeah. But I'll say that I did lose my number one overall pick, who obviously was a mistake to pick of Nick Chubb to injury early, and my slight reach in round 2 to pick up Javonte Williams has not worked out well, as he has been hurt as well. So it's been tough. I think teams have also done well against me. Like I'm 1-4, but you know, I'm fairly unlucky in the matrix. Like I really should be 2-3, which still isn't awesome, but my power matrix is above 400. So I'm 2-3 plus a little bit. So I think a combination of those injuries and the bad luck has just meant my team isn't there. I don't think it's going to recover. I think the injuries are too much. And I keep reaching for new players to hope they work out, but doubt it's going to be there unless Javonte really comes back and takes that backfield again. And as we talked about, the Thunder has looked very strong. I mean, and he could easily be 4-1 right now. And I think that the odds of anybody overtaking the division is pretty low. So, although, you know, the lads have a good power matrix too. I just, when I look at his team, I'm not as impressed with it as the Thunder's team.
Yeah. So I want to get some predictions here from you guys as I mean last year we kind of did predictions in a few of these pods, then we never really revisited it. I want to get really them like actually down so we can do comparisons at the end and figure out who has no idea what's going on in the leagues, and so we can, you know, ruthlessly make fun of them. Sky, do you want to start off with, I guess, who you see? I don't feel like doing all the wild cards and everything, but like who you see winning each division and who you favor overall right now?
Yes. Okay. Let me take a look. I think the Fenders are still going to win the Mirage. I think that I guess I will take Aaron to win our division. It's just... There's the other two teams also have some running back injuries, so I'm not too confident in them.
Even though he's self-proclaimed not paying any attention?
You never know.
Sorry, what was that?
Exactly.
And then I'll take the Thunder to win the Nightmare.
Is either one of Dobby or Aaron ready with your predictions?
Well, I'll take the Stranglers to win the Dream, just to be different.
Okay.
I mean, who knows, but I think if Jones comes back, which I'm hoping he'll be healthy again. He has 3 running backs to start. He's got good receivers for sure. He's got Mahomes, who I think could get better than he's been. So I'll take the Stranglers to win that division. Although, as I think Aaron said, it's really a toss up that division. So that's where I'll differ from Sky. And I don't know. Do you want to make it through all the wild cards? I think that's a little much. No, I think I'll just go with that. But I will still, I'll take my overall prediction. If we want a champion, I'll go with the Thunder right now.
Okay. Yeah. I actually, interestingly, I was going to go Thunder, Offenders, and Next Generation. So I think that does tell you something about how we all feel about the Dream Division right now. It really is that, you know, that much of an unknown. And they're all good teams, right? I think that's the thing. It's not even like, oh, it's four bad teams, somebody's got to win. It's, you know, it's four good teams. Which one has the edge, you know, has the most upside or the highest probability of being able to pull away? But I do think you could see an end of the season, that division, like you did last year, where you have like, you know, three teams that are basically tied and, you know, who are all in the top half of the power matrix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going to not put any predictions here because I don't know this league at all. And I don't know who's on which team. So I'm just going to pass on that one so we can stay moving. Instead, I'll take this time to do a quick, probably what I meant to do at the beginning of the podcast, of kind of why we're doing this pod now and, you know, maybe why we didn't have any pods earlier in the year when we were hoping to. You know, we were kind of planning on doing maybe a pod a week or something, different winners from each league of the top scorers or whatever. But I made the interesting and maybe foolhardy decision of returning to school, which has led me to have a little less time to talk about random fantasy football things. So I have a week off right now. We're getting this nice early season recap pod in. Hopefully we'll have some other chances, you know, maybe at Thanksgiving or whenever throughout, to do some other ones during the year and continue on with kind of different subsets of the season. But we'll just have to take it as they come in terms of time. So with that, any other thoughts from you guys on the DFL before we jump over to the W?
No, just that it was very inconsiderate of you to go back to school and not allocate appropriate time for this.
You know, I thought I would have a little more time, but they do like to give us lots of really stupid work. So.
Sounds like fun.
Well, it's hard, you know, finding marginal values of functions without using derivatives. It's a lot of work.
You're not wrong.
See, this is why I never went back to school.
Yes, that's the reason, right? That's actually kind of sounds about right. Okay, let's hop over to the W then. We can just keep this thing rolling. This is, you know, maybe a little more straightforward league. I always find the D kind of interesting, especially looking at the coach's book and predictions, because it's like so spread out, right? The sort of redraft format, every single division is sort of a toss-up, and then you get to the W, and it's like, okay, you have, you know, 8 votes or 9 votes for the Bills to win the Spades. You have, you know, 9 votes for the Attack to win the Hearts. Diamonds is a little more up in the air, and we'll kind of talk about that, but certainly things are a little more straightforward in the W in a general sense. I guess, Dobby, do you want to start off with your division, you know, kind of talk how the Spades are doing?
Well, my division's a little surprising to me because I don't think my team is really that good, but I'm still 4-1, and I thought the Bills were really the team to beat. I guess most people did, because you said they had 8 or 9 votes in a thing. And I guess, the Eckler injury clearly has had something to do with it, but he's been surprisingly weak. He's still 3-2, but I really thought he'd be dominating the division. Well, instead it's me and Brian. I will say the Spades traditionally has good teams, and, you know, we show again with 3 teams that are 3-2. Well, and even Bob's gotten up to 2-3 now, right? So I guess right now the division looks pretty decent. But when you look at the power matrix, of course, you know, you got the Diamonds at the top. So while our division has teams 3, 4, and 5, it's not the strongest out there. I expect, looking at the power matrix, looking at the teams, it will be a battle to the finish for these 3 teams. I don't think you can pick out one and say, oh, yeah, you know, it's been close so far, but this team's going to pop its way out. I still think the Bills are probably the best team long term, but they're a game behind at this point. And the Islanders have been playing much better ball than I would have expected also.
Yeah, I took the Dogs to win this division. I'm not super surprised by how this has gone, but there's definitely some big questions. I think it's interesting. Each team has some, like, clear question marks that need to be figured out. You're still kind of playing with no tight end. I mean, Logan Thomas was good last week, but it's sort of been a complete toss up. And the Bills have managed to get through without Eckler, but now that's like maybe coming back a little bit stronger. And his second wide receiver is a bit of a question. And then with the Islanders, it's like, is Rashad White going to do something? Is Jake Ferguson going to do something? Like, what's his second wide receiver situation going to be? So any of these teams, I think it's like you're saying, this could really be a toss-up based on just how some of these different injuries and things fall. But there's going to be a good team that comes out of this division, whoever it actually ends up being, based on, you know, how things go going forward.
Well, there always is. But what's amazing is the Islanders, you know, they have one of the very large disappointments this season for their top running back, someone they paid a lot for, Najee Harris, and they're still 4-1. So that shows this team's got pretty good depth about it.
Yeah, well, he picked up Jerome Ford, which was a nice stopgap there. Probably print some value after his, you know, murder's row of defenses after this week is done. And so, you know, and Breece Hall potentially coming back on a little bit more after the injury, finally got a snap count above 50% for the first time this past week. So hopefully he comes on a little bit. You know, I'm totally unbiased there. You know, hopefully see a little more from him. He might not struggle so much there if he can just get good production from Hall and Ford. I guess on to Hearts then. Clearly, in terms of record, this is maybe the weakest division in any of our leagues. It's actually quite remarkable right now that they have 6 wins, the bottom 3 Matrix teams, and then the Hack Attack at Matrix number 7, so still bottom half. This is a rough one.
Well, they have six wins, but remember, they've played 2 games in division, so.
Yes.
Have to have 4 wins.
Right. Mm-hmm. So they have two out-of-division wins.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and the other thing is, it's a little bit like the Mirage in the other league, where you have the Hack Attack at number 7 in the Matrix, and the other 3 are 10, 11, 12. Right? I mean, so they're all in the bottom half of the Matrix right now. You know, I don't see anyone in here. I'm a little surprised, actually, the Hack Attack isn't doing better. I mean, I think they were looking at the predictions, they were the clear favorite to win the division. Mm-hmm. And they haven't separated themselves. I mean, they've won 2 games in division, which is good, but they're not, they're the best of a bad bunch right now. But I don't see that changing necessarily.
Yeah, I'm looking a little bit at the Attack here. He's had some questionable lineup success rates. So,
well, that's normal for him.
Yeah, I mean, he's 4th from the bottom there. Actually, Mons is even lower there, 2nd to the bottom, and Mindhunter is the very bottom at only 57%, which is pretty painful to see. So this division has some positive variance that could come their way in terms of just boosting up their point totals. Of course, part of that comes from just not having stud players that they're sticking into their lineups, right? So if you have, you know, 6 different wide receivers that you're choosing from, none of them are clear plays over the other one, you're going to get these low lineup success rates. Like the Hack Attack right now, Eric is sitting on like 8 wide receivers. And just looking at it, basically any of them would be reasonable starts other than maybe Van Jefferson. So you just like don't know what's going to happen on a game-to-game basis. And
how can you say that? Van Jefferson's on Atlanta now, so he's got Ritter throwing to him.
He's like the 5th receiving option on a Desmond Ritter team.
The team that throws 15 times a game. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, do you guys have any thoughts of who you see coming out of this division?
Not really. I mean, I
nobody, but well, yeah. The Mindhunter thing is he's got the worst power matrix by a fair amount. He's in fact in line right now to the 4th worst power matrix of all time, but he still has 2 wins.
Yeah, it's way too early for that.
The question is, but the PC has 2 wins, even though he's been really bad. So the question is, does this mean that he's going to be able to take these lucky wins and parlay them into a decent season later on if he gets better? Or does that just mean that he's got the 2 lucky wins and, you know, that's going to catch up with him later and go back down?
He's got 2 lucky wins. One of those was a 2-point win in division. And the other one was against, Washington University football team, who we'll talk about in a minute, who is just, you know, having their own troubles.
So. You guys see that Mindhunter has five quarterbacks on his roster currently?
Yeah, well.
And all five are being paid one gold?
Sure.
You pepper the board and eventually it hits, you know?
That's gotta be some kind of award. Like,
if you want to, you come up with the achievement, I will code it in. That's fine.
So here's the thing, though. If CJ Stroud and Nico Collins can continue to be good, Mindhunter could win this division. Mm-hmm. There's a lot riding on those two, but okay. I mean, overall, I think Hack Attack still have the best, have the best upside. They've got some real running backs. They've got Pat Mahomes. Feels like they should still be the ones to win this division.
Well, let's move on from that division because, quite frankly, they're pretty boring. And let's get to the Diamonds, which includes three of us here on the podcast.
And more importantly, two of the top teams in the Matrix.
Yes, two of the two top teams in the Matrix. And actually, you know, far and away the top two scorers so far. The Legion at 197 total points, the Chameleons at 199 total points. The Legion at number one in terms of the Matrix.
And undefeated, by the way.
And undefeated. The only undefeated team across all of our leagues.
Yeah, so we can just call the season right now. That's fine.
Yeah, stop the count.
Yep.
Dude, okay. The count, man. With all this counting, we got to stop them, man.
Yeah, so the one thing here is, like, the Chews are 0-5, and their team is
shocking to me.
So not terrible.
Eighth in the power matrix right now.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, some of that's come from, you know, Saquon being injured, Ja'Marr Chase having some bad games. But, like, he's got a starting lineup of granted, no quarterback, but then, like, Saquon, Brian Robinson, Darren Waller, Ja'Marr Chase, Garrett Wilson, right? Like, that's a real team.
Well, if you look at his games, right, I mean, he's winless, but three of those losses were 36-31, 32-29, and 51-30. So he's had three games where he's put up, you know, meaningful production, not fantastic, but he was just playing against better teams. Mm-hmm. So I think he's had some issues there. I think you're right that he's just had some bad weeks. I don't know if he can recover from that. I mean, you know, being 0-5
right.
In an otherwise solid division, you know, where there are two other good teams.
You just got to feel for him, right? If he's in the Hearts division, he's a shoo-in for the playoffs.
Yeah, I would think so. So, but we're a few years away from realignment, right?
Yeah. We'll go back quickly here to Legion versus Chameleons, because that's kind of our top two teams in the league at the moment.
For the season, the whole season.
Aaron, I looking at your team, and I'm like, okay, yeah, Hurts, Kelce, Keenan Allen, Stephon Diggs, Puka Nacua, and then, like, what the fuck are your running backs? If Zach Moss becomes the backup again.
I know, then I'm screwed.
It's going to be quite a predicament.
Particularly with Khalil Herbert going, I'm the guy, and having a good game, and then getting injured.
Yep.
Right? And Montgomery taking you know, over everything in Detroit. So I don't know.
I didn't realize how Zach Moss dependent you were across all these leagues.
Well, I didn't think I was until, you know, like with Herbert got injured, that hurt me a lot. Which is a terrible thing to say. Like, I'm relying on a Chicago running back. How pathetic is that? Yeah, so I don't see me as being able to hold on to that, you know, top superior role, unfortunately. I mean, maybe it'll work out. Maybe Moss was just going to, like, last game, I mean, he demonstrated, no, you should have been paying me all that money. And I'm just hoping he can hold on to that. It seems unlikely to me. I think the Chameleons are more likely to end up on top of that division.
Yeah, it generally seems that way to me right now. I do still have this big question at wide receiver two.
Uh-huh.
With, you know, O'Hagan's missed last week, but he's been very up and down. Otherwise, mostly down. But with the Achan injury, you know, my running back depth is a little thin.
Well, you have three starting running backs, though. I mean, you're the flip side. You have three starting running backs. You have, you know, really questions in your wideouts. You have one wideout, and then who knows it? You know, you're number two. I have some good wideouts, but I have maybe one running back.
Right.
So
it's probably a trade to be had here, Aaron. But whatever.
Yeah, we should talk.
Yeah, we should. So I guess I do feel generally, though, that I would favor my team a little bit going forward, but it's kind of a toss up if I can figure out that wide receiver two versus if, you know, Gibbs starts doing more, if Zach Moss continues to have work.
Well, you're assuming the Eagles coaching staff won't wake up one morning and decide that once again they love Kenneth Gainwell and want to get rid of DeAndre Swift. And then
it's true. They do love Kenneth Gainwell.
I just want to remind everyone that DeAndre Swift has been like the best running back in the league in the last 4 weeks, and in the first week he got 2 touches.
Now wait a minute. I think Devon Achan, how's he pronouncing it now?
Achan
was the top running back in the league until, you know, he no longer is.
He was. And you know, I was thinking about how annoying it was that I have him on a 5-year deal at 20 gold and he was gonna hold out, and now he's probably no longer gonna hold out. So I gotta say, I don't hate it for me since I also have Raheem Mostert.
Sure.
Although currently I have the top 3 running backs in scoring, and I certainly won't after this.
Seems unlikely. I think you'll be doing okay nonetheless.
And, you know, quick shout out to us, Aaron, because we were the only two that predicted the Chameleons to win the division. So if things keep going in trending that way, you know, you'll look good either way. Either you'll win the division or you'll have a correct prediction.
Yeah, and that's what I'm playing for.
Exactly. Nothing's more valuable than coach's book points, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we took ourselves to win the division. It's been a rough
one. Yeah, how's that going for you, Sky?
Well, we have, I think, the best IR team in the league.
I would totally grant you that.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I guess I want to do some quick predictions here on the W.
Legion and Chameleons will meet in the playoffs at some point, and the winner will win the league. There you go.
Okay, that's a good prediction. I'll take that.
I would usually guess Chameleons, but as they say, Flynn finds a way to lose. So
I do.
Flynn does find a way to have his players injured. Oh, see, I was going to take the Chameleons, but yeah, I mean, it's going to be boring, but I'm going to take actually the Chameleons, the Attack, and the Islanders to win the divisions.
I'm rather surprisingly, when I look at this, I'm going to take myself to win the Spades.
Yeah,
because I actually like my team better now, and I always said that everyone's going to get hurt, I'm sure, but I think my team still has upside. I think, you know, Henry's might be good, and if Jones comes back, then I have 3. You know, playable running backs, and that's useful. So anyway, so I'll take myself to win, given that I've somehow gotten to 4-1. You know, I don't really care who wins the Hearts. I don't think they're going anywhere. But I guess I would take the Attack. And then in your division, it's, you know, either of you could do it. I guess I don't like questions at running back, and I just look at Aaron's running backs, and it looks like, you know,
they suck.
Having six or seven number 3 running backs just doesn't do it in fantasy football normally. So I'm going to go with Flynn. Ooh. And I'm going to go with the Spades team to win the whole thing, because they always do. I'm not saying it's going to be me, but I'm going just with the Spades team just to title.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I do want to say, Duggan, I actually like your team better right now. I picked the Islanders because I look at the last several seasons, the Islanders have a knack for a strong second half of the season, right?
Yeah.
They seem to have consistently picked up some players who end up getting better as the season goes on. And so and given that they're already 4-1 and tied with you, that's why I gave him the edge.
We don't think it's just because he wants it more. Is that possible? Maybe he just wants it more than Dobby
could
does.
Could be.
That could be it for sure.
You know, I mean, Dobby's lounging in Hawaii right now.
Right? I see some clear upside on the island, clear upside on the Islanders team as well. But
yeah,
but I'm taking me.
That's good. You go. You do that.
So I started off in the coach's book with Dogs, Mons, Chameleons, and Legion wild card, and I'm going to stick to it across the board.
Ooh.
Okay.
All right, stick to your guns, man.
And I feel pretty good about it.
Nothing radical there. That's, you know.
No. Yeah. All right.
I hear you were once radical on a ski lift, Dubs.
I was rad.
That wasn't the lift, Sky. That wasn't a ski lift. That was a gondola.
A gondola. Yeah. Sorry, the gonj on the gondola.
It was definitely a gondola.
Yep.
A story that took me approximately 18 years to fully understand.
Hey, you didn't even figure out what the Hitters logo meant until you were like 22 somehow. So.
I don't even know if I had like seen it. Like, it never even occurred to me. I have never really, like, looked at the logos.
What, do you think it was, like, a baseball team or something?
No, I just hadn't looked at the logos. Like, I didn't even... I still don't... I assume it's something to do with drugs. I can't even picture it now, but... Oh, it's a weed leaf.
You know, Sky. I was gonna say that they're the hitters because they got that Riz, and then I realized that nobody who listens to this pod has any idea what the fuck Riz is. So.
Hey, dude, Nippy's gonna listen to this pod. I'm gonna force him to.
He doesn't know what Riz is.
That's fair.
Yeah. Now that I moved, I think I should change my name to the Tampa Tokers and just, you know, make it more obvious.
You know, when you first said Tampa, I was immediately thinking no, and then Tampa Tokers. I kind of like.
Yeah, I gotta get me some better pictures for my helmets. Gotta get some Alfredo pics.
I suggest having Josh Gordon Jesus for all your pictures.
Okay, you want to get to the Premier League?
Okay. Yeah, let's go to the P. This is another one of those leagues, like the W, where we had, you know, pretty heavy favorites. At least, you know, Orcs was pretty heavily boys, except for the Rebigolators, who had the Has-Beens, although they had some interesting predictions otherwise, including people winning divisions that they weren't in. So I don't know we should worry about.
No, their picks, I meant to clear those out. They, I believe they were entering picks for a different league and had the wrong tab open. And entered for this league.
Checks out.
This one, though, is like the D. There's 10 out of 12 teams are 2-3 or 3-2.
That's very even.
So Aaron
and I are outliers. Yeah.
How's your season going, dude?
Oh, my season's unfortunately going as predicted. Not doing great. Although I have to say, I'm 1-4. I'm the bottom of the division, and I'm the only 1-4 team in the league. I'm not the bottom of the matrix. There are two other teams in our division who are below me in the matrix. So that gives me some hope, but not much.
Holy shit, we're 1, 10, 11, 12?
Yeah, we're 1, 10, 11, 12.
This is the shocking thing to me, is right, that the Orc division, which everybody, even coming into this season, people were like, oh, that's still a great division, has the 10, 11, and 12 power matrix. Like, how did that happen?
Yeah. Well, Flynn's only one of the power matrix because of the weakness of his division, allowing him to rack up points, obviously.
Yeah, that must be it.
Yeah, I keep playing as bad defenses.
Speaking of Matrix, soon to be two teams, a step above everyone else.
Brilliant. And can you tell us who the other team might be, Sky?
Flynn's team.
Nice.
Got it.
I mean, it is, there are two teams this, like, power right now in the Power Matrix. It is only 5 weeks, but.
Yep. But one of them is 4-1. And the other one's only 3-2, so.
Yeah, because they went 20-2 last week and lost.
Yeah, I feel for you. Reavers opened the season that way.
So Dobby, I was just looking through your team here. We should come back to the Orcs, but I noticed your Kenneth Walker, and it made me think that I should probably let you know that I just traded for Kenneth Walker in my Dynasty League. So I
know. No.
Both the W and in my Dynasty League.
Oh, why would you do that to me?
All right. So everyone, that means that Walker will be Cousin Kenneth will be getting injured this week.
So, you know, if you want to trade for Charbonnet, if you want to just sell your Kenneth shares, you know, whatever, however you want to do with that knowledge, just letting you know.
I can give 100% chance he'll get hurt by giving him to you, and then, you know.
No, maybe if I have enough sheriffs of them everywhere, then it like flips or something.
Yeah, good luck with
that. I'm not tanning on it. I was still upset about AJ, and that, you know, you had him in one league, and that was enough to get him hurt when I had him in two leagues. But
let's go back here to the Orcs just to wrap this up. I mean, this division seems decently cut and dry. You know, we have the top team in the Matrix, and then the three bottom teams. I mean, even if my team takes a bit of a hit without Jefferson, you know, for the next 4 weeks or so, I have some decent enough replacements, and I just can't imagine anyone here making, like, a really big run to take over the division. That said, we were talking about this a little bit in our chat, and, you know, Alan has Addison and Hockenson, right? So if there's one team that could benefit from the JJ injury and come up and take over the York division, it would probably be Allen.
Yeah.
You guys have any other thoughts on that?
Oh, I agree.
No, I'd agree with that, but I don't think it'll be enough. I mean, I think you have enough that you should be able to stay well out of everybody.
Yeah, Allen's team might gain some there, but his team's not very good. I mean, to give you how bad his team is, he's currently planning on playing both Tennessee running backs this week.
Against one of the best rush defenses in the league.
Yeah. So, you know, what can you say? Oh. If you have two Tennessee players in your team, you're already in trouble. But to be playing two in 1 week is really... But yeah,
and you know what's unfair?
Addison in his lineup,
the Titans are required to have 53 Tennessee players on their team. Can you believe that?
No wonder
wonder why they're terrible.
Yeah, that explains something.
Yep.
All right, let's get on to Wizards then. Sky is our resident Wizard. Wizards currently with best record in the league. They're, you know, net one win above neutral. At the Orcs' expense, while Dragons are neutral. We currently have Sith Lords, Yetis, and LPH sitting at 3-2. LPH, who's made a bit of a run, they were very low on the matrix early on. I think LPH and East Shore Boys were last in week two, and LPH was dead last by himself in week three. But now, following two good weeks, the Bryans are up to number 9 in the matrix, and honestly looking pretty good overall. Any thoughts here on how you see this going forward, Sky?
I still favor my team. I'm scoring the best, and I'm not. And it's been a rough. Last week was rough. Obviously, Sith Lords had an amazing week, but just looking at the rosters and who each team got, I think none of us have a particularly strong roster. A lot of depth issues, just in general. But I'd still take myself for now. But one or two injuries could definitely swing this division towards anyone.
Interesting to me is that the Sith Lords are 3-2, and they have Eckler and Cooper Kupp.
Right. Yeah. I was gonna jump in there. I think the Sith Lords really are better positioned right now. I mean, I think they do have 3 wins, and actually that's against. I mean, their wins. One of them was against Sky. But the other two are against the Rebigulators and the Series, who are 3-4 in the Matrix, right? So they're not. It's not like, oh, they're 3-2, and they've just barely won against bad teams. They literally have wins against teams 2, 3, and 4 in the Matrix, are their 3 wins.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and to your point, they have Eckler, you know, now back, and Cooper Kupp back. So I think they're likely to be able to make a run. And honestly, you know, the Yetis, I mean, you've got some good players, but also, you know, Olave is injured and having a couple of bad games. Adams, who knows? And as we said, DeAndre Swift is going to get replaced by Gainwell. So when that happens, I just don't think you'll be able to sustain it.
I think, I mean, the Sith Lords, if they stay healthy, yeah, they're in a great position. But there is... This basically the same true of this entire division. There's no running back depth.
Sith Lords have Charbonnet.
Well, no, they have Charbonnet. Exactly.
Yeah.
God, I hope Charbonnet comes through. It's going to make my TFL team a whole lot better.
No, I think I do generally agree with Sky that I like his team the most if they stay healthy, but Keenan Allen has never been the pinnacle of health. Devontae Adams hasn't really either, and Olave has been dealing with an injury, right? So if any of those 5 starters that he has, Swift, Keenan Allen, Devontae Adams, Jamar Chase, Olave, if any of them get injured, it's a significant hit.
Mm-hmm.
And really the same can be said for a lot of the teams in this division. So it's,
yeah,
I think, a significant crapshoot.
And I kind of want to call out the Rebigulators also. I mean, so the teams are all, you know, 3-2 and Rebigulators are 2-3, but they're all solid teams. I mean, LPH are only 9 in the matrix. They're the weakest among them. But, you know, you look at Rob's team, Burrow seems to be playing again in form, right? He's got CMC and Mostert, which is a pretty nice combination, especially with Achane out. He's got, you know, nothing at wide receiver, so that's kind of a problem. But Ridley. He's not a bad team. Yeah, he's got
I think, like I said before, I think this really is one of these teams is going to not get injured, I think, and that's going to be the team that wins the division.
Yeah, you're probably right.
And Rob, fairness to Rob, Rob is number three in the Matrix.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, that seems like a pretty fair synopsis of the division. It's probably going to just come down to health. Lastly, move on to the Dragons, where Dobby's series, after all of his talk like he does every year about how he's just trying to not get relegated because he loves complaining, he is atop the division.
In fairness, we all do.
Complain? Wait, what?
Not as much as Dobby.
I have never complained about fantasy football in my entire life. I don't know.
Dobby is definitely the champion complainer. There's no question Dobby is the champion.
Absolutely. We have got that plaque for you and everything. Mm-hmm.
Dobby's original series are the top Matrix team here at number four in the Matrix. Although, like Sky was talking about before, there's a significant drop-off after the top two teams. So it's only a little bit above 500 there. And then the rest of those Dragons are just sort of dispersed throughout the middle. East Shore Boys in fifth, one spot behind Dobby. And then for the Nip and Leicester Pearls at 7 and 8, just kind of dead smack in the middle. This division also seems like it could kind of go anyway. What are your thoughts, Dobbs?
Well, my team has definitely been better than I expected. And I was ready to proclaim my team the clear favorite until my big find of Achane just suddenly went on an IR. So, that took away my running back depth that I was getting very excited about. Now, none of the other teams have exactly that exciting a lineup at running back. And I do have, I think, a pretty good wide receiver depth. So I still like my team at this point in that division. I think if I stay healthy, I think my team is the best one there. It also depends on Lamar. You know, he's so up and down. Yeah. He could be great one week and terrible the next. You know, Free the Nip, he's got a lot of potential there. Again, the Taylor question can swing a lot of things. You know, Taylor comes back and takes over that starting role and acts like himself from 2 years ago, then, you know, the teams that have him are going to, you know, probably all make the playoffs, you know, if that really happens in the next few weeks. If he doesn't, you know, he has Saquon, who's also been hurt, and he has Pacheco, who just... he's never going to be a top-level guy, but actually he's been doing quite well this year. So his team has a lot of potential. He's 3-2.
That's so funny. Quick thing on Nip. I would start Pacheco this week over either of those other two running backs, and he's decided to sit Pacheco.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting.
Yeah, against Denver.
Well, he's got another 5-10 minutes to figure that out. So.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, wait, there's a game right now, isn't there?
Yeah,
well, in about 25 minutes.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't looked at my lineups. I should do that.
You might want to do that if you have any KC or Denver players.
I can't even remember.
Actually, you don't want any of those in your lineup anyway. They all suck.
Uh huh.
Yeah. So I mean,
after you say put Checo in there,
East Shore Boys are the number two team matrix wise from this division. Team also looking good, especially now with Kamara back. A little bit of a question there at kind of running back two and. At tight end, but by all means, a team that could also fight here to contest. I think the Pearls seem to be a little bit weaker, but like Sam Laporta, tight end one right now, CeeDee Lamb could continue to do better things, and obviously Puka's killing it. This is also a team that can make a run. So, I mean, I agree I would favor Dobby and Nippy, but I certainly wouldn't be surprised if this swung a different direction.
Yeah, the thing about the Pearls is they only beat Orcs, and so that's only four of their games, no matter how they otherwise look.
That was my loss, wasn't it? When they
and mine, yeah, they crushed you.
Oh, yeah, that was a rough one. All right, let's wrap this up here with some predictions. Then, I guess I'll just say quickly. I'll go boys Yetis. Series, I'll kind of take it down the line as the Matrix stands right now, and I know I'm going to lose somehow, but I'll still take myself overall.
And who are your bottom three?
Oh yeah, we can do that in this league. I think I kind of have to go Gorillas just because, just the current situation of being 1-4, right? You,
my suckiness.
You have to sort of dig yourself out of the hole. And certainly there are some holes in that roster. It's kind of hard to believe that the Strippers could end up there, right? Like, Tom's just been so dominant in this league for so long. But when I look at that lineup, it's like if Zach Moss becomes sort of more of a number two again, it's really easy to see that team ending up on the bottom as well. But we do get a lot of interdivision games there for you guys to sort of beat up on one another. So someone's got to come out with some wins. I think my pick would basically be probably the Gorillas. Whoever in the Wizards division ends up getting injured and they sort of beat the crap out of each other, and whoever falls off from there would be the second one. And let's go Strippers.
Strippers!
But it could also be has-beens. I don't know. I just feel like things always fall for Allen, so I can't pick him.
Yeah, I mean, I think Allen has the most upside among the three of us. I think he's the one most likely to end with a positive record and be in the positive playoffs. So I'll give my predictions. I actually like the divisions where they are right now. I would take the boys, the Lords, sorry, Sky, and Duggan. Although, yeah, I think other than the boys, those are up for grabs, but that's how I would call it right now, moving forward. The bottom, unfortunately, actually, the bottom, I'm going to say the Strippers are going to end up in the bottom and I'll be above them. And then I'm going to say LPH is the third from the bottom at the end.
LPH. Wow.
That's really funny because I was about to pick LPH to win the Wizard Division.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
I love that.
Yeah. Right. I actually like his team. I think it's got potential. And there's so many unknowns, but he's got Jacobs, Montgomery, and Kyron Williams at running back at this point, who could all be real starters. Eventually, Minnesota will figure out that who's the terrible running back there?
Madison.
I've lost my mind. That Madison sucks, and they're going to play Cam Akers. And then all of a sudden, LPH is going to have four running backs that are playable.
And you'll have only, and you won't have any.
Exactly.
Hey, kind of talk over here.
You go no, with this
we'll,
one
have, we'll have Amari DiMercato.
That's exactly.
True. He will. But he won't have Madison, and Cousin Kenneth will be injured by then. So
the problem with four running backs is that when you don't have a tight end.
Hey, Pitts was good last week.
Last week, mm-hmm. Not the four before it though.
True. Okay. Well, anyway, I'm taking LPH just to be difficult, just since Aaron hasn't been relegation. You know, just to be fun. I'll take the boys because I think Flynn will find a way to lose it, but to not pick him to win is just silly right now, given the rest of that division. And actually, I was gonna pick me, but now you've reminded me that Kenneth's gonna get hurt and Madison sucks. So
Madison is the only player who actually benefits from Jefferson being injured.
But I just don't like the rest of my division either. So I'm gonna still go with me, and I'm gonna pick along with the Gorillas, who I'm sticking with to lose. I'm gonna go with the Pearls to be last, be down there.
Okay, it's going to be Boys, Yetis, Free the Nip, with Free the Nip beating the Boys for the championship.
Wow. Okay.
Free the Nip
beating Boys for the championship?
Yep.
Someone phone Nippy. He's going to be a happy lad to hear that.
Yep. I don't think I'm winning, and someone is going to beat you, so...
That's a fair point.
Free the Nip. True. Barkley and Taylor, both... healthy for the playoffs and go off. I could see it.
Mm-hmm.
And then relegation, it'll be has-beens, polos.
Also going polos.
Ooh.
Mm. Yep, and pearls.
Oh, thank you. That was kind of you, Sky. I disagree, but thanks.
Yeah, that was nice. All right, I think that wraps up our main leagues. Let's do a quick five ski here on the G. So far, we've lost Superstars. We've lost Eric Harmon, Team Buffalo, and our friend Swagness, Reverse Yularity, a.k.a. Skywalker.
It's actually xx$420.69_MLG_Swagness_$XX.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it seems like there's a clear leader here right now. I mean, Rich Mindhunter is just significantly ahead of everyone else. He's been the top scorer. I guess he was the top scorer 2 weeks ago, the second scorer this past week. He just looks pretty loaded across the board.
The top scorer in week two as well. Yeah.
Top scorer in week two as well. I mean, if you were putting this in terms of like a starting lineup, right, for a standard team right now, he'd have Hurts, Eckler, Montgomery, Swift, Kelsey, Keenan Allen, Diggs, like Debo. He has Addison as well to benefit from the injury. It's a good team, simply put. I'd say the only holes that he has is he's only got two quarterbacks. So if anything happens to, if Sam Howell has a bad game, Hurts gets injured, something like that, he could have some bad weeks. Little lacking in running back depth too, but
except that
anyone disagree that he's the out and out favorite here.
Top. No, because also as long as he's one of the top teams, he'll be able to pick up a quarterback if he needs it. So
yeah.
He also has no backup tight end, so. And he has Kelsey, so he's going from a top tight end to a zero at tight end any given week. Kelsey has been kind of beaten up, so there is that. But still, I think he's been the dominant team, and he's still got Eckler coming. I mean, that's pretty impressive. But my main take on the G League is after last week, I have no idea what's going to happen because, I mean, I was tagging Paul's team, Rose Paul, as one of the teams that might go out soon. And yeah. he was playing with only one quarterback. Okay. And then
that's crazy.
He went and won the league by a lot.
Yeah.
You know, just destroyed everybody. Mm-hmm. So it's just in any given week, you just kind of anything can happen in the G League.
I think the
teams that are bad are going to go out are more obvious than which teams are going to win.
Well, I think yes, but if you just look at total points and you look at teams by total points, the top five teams by total points are going to be the final five teams, right? Mindhunter, Let Him Eat Cake, Keep In My Head, Lizard Wizards, and Rogues Paul. I think those are odds on. Those are the last five teams, right? I just think there's a huge drop off after that, and yeah, there are, you know, five teams. Four or five teams where you could easily go, oh yeah, they could lose this week, you know. So I don't think the picking who's going to lose a week is a total crapshoot because you know, I think it, at least for me, it surprised me that it was the superstars that went home. I thought they had another couple of weeks in them, but you know, but I think it's actually pretty clear to me that those top five are likely to stay in the top five.
Well, it's at the bottom, you know. The scores are so low. If you have one player that just goes off, that saves you for a week.
Right. You know? Yeah. Well, that's what happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I was looking at, oh, I have, you know, 1 or 2 weeks left top. And all of a sudden, you know, Tyreek had a huge week. Burrow decided he remembered how to play football. I mean, and so all of a sudden I'm, you know, whatever, fifth or sixth. So I live another day. But I could just, so I probably won't lose this week, but I could just as easily be out, you know, week seven because I have two bad weeks and then I'm done.
All right. Any final thoughts on the G League? I mean, I think it seems we're all in pretty much agreement that Mindhunter's the favorite here.
Oh yeah.
You know, one of Let Them Eat Cake, Keep In My Head, Wizards, Rose Paul could come out with something, but it's really hard to say, you know, look past Mindhunter at the moment. I think that does it for us then. We'll wrap it up there, and that'll keep us under an hour. I think hopefully we'll try to get another one of these in, you know, at some point around like week 10 or 11 or something, just to split up our season and maybe try to get a pre-playoff one in. Maybe we'll do some sort of Thanksgiving live show or something. That would be incredibly douchey and fun for all the fans that we have there. And yeah, thanks for everyone who listened, and we'll be back at some point. Later, guys. I'm going to go downstairs and get my Thai food.